الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity to gather in the Mubarak house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this Mubarak occasion of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah ta'ala that He gives us the tawfiq of appreciating this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah ta'ala that He allows us to see many, many more days of Jumu'ah with afiyat. And we also make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows the last day of our earthly life to be this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. The day of Jumu'ah is such a beautiful day, such an important day in the life of a Muslim. Allah Ta'ala has made it such that a person that gives it its importance, a person makes up his mind, he practically prepares for the Jumu'ah from early on, and he gives the Jumu'ah Salat its importance. Many times you find Allah Ta'ala will give a person more than the day of Jumu'ah. But it depends on us to see what effort we make, what importance we give to this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. It can be like any other occasion, like a normal Thursday or a Wednesday or a Tuesday, where a person just sees the time, okay, Salah is 1 o'clock, for example, Zuhur Salah, I need to be there a few minutes. It can be like that, where a person just leaves it. Or it can be a very special day in the sight of a Muslim, and he gives it its importance. Allah Ta'ala will also give him importance by giving him, often it happens, not necessarily, but often it happens, Allah gives this person more than the day of Jumu'ah. And even if that doesn't happen, he doesn't get more than the day of Jumu'ah, Allah will still repay this person handsomely for the fact that he had given this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah its importance. Anyway, the topic that I wish to discuss today is that we are moving into the month of Ramadan, and we are very close getting into the month of Ramadan. What mindset should we have in general getting into the Mubarak month of Ramadan, and what mindset should we be having as a Muslim? Often this mindset gets tainted, this thinking of ours gets tainted by the environment that we live in. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith said, Al-mar'u ala deeni khalili, that a person is upon the creed, upon the ways, upon the style of his friends. What circle a person keeps, generally that's the style and the way you'll find this person moving on. So in this minority situation that we find ourselves in, very often we are interacting, we are seeing, we are meeting, we are doing business, we are dealing with, etc., with people that are non-Muslims, people of a secular mindset. So often it happens that our thinking also gets shaped, gets molded onto that secular mindset without us even realizing that we are thinking like that. Now, whereas a Muslim's mindset is completely different, the reason being is we believe in an Allah. We believe in a creator. We believe that conditions come from Allah. We believe that our actions go up to Allah. We believe that there's accountability. They don't believe in anything like this. So they don't believe in accountability. They don't believe that any actions, or they don't believe that our actions are going up, conditions are coming down. So they attribute generally everything to themselves. Just one example that happened recently. You may have heard of those fires that broke out in California. That after such devastating fires, instead of bringing yaqeen, bringing some type of iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only thing that they say is that if Mother Nature just gives us some respite, we'll be able to control this fire. In other words, Allah ta'ala is taken out of the equation completely. So when Allah ta'ala is taken out of the equation, then their actions are different to our actions. Our actions are determined, our actions are influenced by the fact that we believe every step of the way that we are going to be responsible, we are going to be accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is coming to us is coming because of our actions and coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, when we are mixing, there's this clash of thinking, there's this clash of civilization. So therefore, it's very important for us to remind ourselves, moving into the month of Ramadan and thereafter, the month of Ramadan, after the month of Ramadan, are we thinking like how a Muslim should think? So I'll just give some examples. The ayat of the Quran Sharif, which I've recited in the khutbah, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. That enter into Islam completely. Completely, one explanation ulama give is that don't enter piecemeal. In other words, I choose, this is a little bit easy for me to practice, I'll practice upon it. It's easy for me to come to the masjid, so I'll come to the masjid. But zakat is a bit heavy for me, so I'll delay that zakat, or I won't give that zakat. This is a bit difficult for me. Fasting in the month of Ramadan, it's, I can manage, so I'll keep. And intermingling or this haram taking place, that is difficult for me, so that part of it I leave out. So in other words, a person piecemeal, he chooses to see what part of Islam he wants to bring in his life and what part he wants to leave out. Allah Ta'ala is saying, وَدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. Enter into Islam completely. Don't be choosy. Don't choose certain aspects, leave out certain aspects. Enter into Islam both externally and internally. So we are speaking about internally, where a person's thinking now comes right. In other words, I think like a Muslim. So, in this December period, you find that there was one complaint that was coming, that was a very common complaint, especially from the elderly, the old people, that we went through a period of time where our own children, that we grew up with our own hands, that we took so much of time and love and care to bring them up, take care of them, but when this December period came, everyone wanted to move out on some holiday, and we appeared, it seemed as though we became suddenly a burden on our own children. Somebody that we grew up with love and muhabbat. Remember, when a man's thinking is right, what he saw as a stone yesterday, today he sees it as a diamond. What he saw as a burden yesterday, today he'll see it as a blessing. What he saw as a liability yesterday, today he'll see it as an asset. What he saw as loss yesterday, today he'll see it as profit. So this is the complaint that comes, that now we have to literally live out of a suitcase. The members of the family take a certain mashura, that who's going to take, we have to take turns. Each one wants to go on the holiday, wants to go on the vacation, somebody wants to go for umrah, go here and go there. But now we become a burden, that one family member that we were staying with, suddenly it becomes difficult for us. Now that psychological trauma that we go through, living out of a suitcase, becomes very difficult for us. But if a man just thinks like how a Muslim should think, Bukhari Sharif riwayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-sa'i ala al-armala wal-miskini kal-mujahidi fi sabilillah. That person who makes effort, he does some type of koshish, he makes some arrangements to assist a widow or to assist a person in need, a poor person. Rasul mujahidi fi sabilillah. He's like a person that is making jihad out in the path of Allah. Now how simple, how easy. This is looking after some strange poor person, looking after some strange widow. Not talking about a mother, not talking about a person's own mother, but this is talking about any outside widow. A person makes an effort to look after that widow or a person in need. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, "Kal mujahidi fi sabilillah, or qal kal ladhi yasumun nahar wa yaqumul layl." Or is like that person who is fasting during the day, every day, and he's standing up every night. Simple thing by looking after a outside widow. Now can you imagine if a person has the thinking of a Muslim, that Allah Ta'ala has given me this opportunity to take care of my mother, Allah has given me this opportunity to take care of my father, will the person ever wish that other people, he wants to send his mother to stay by someone else, will ever person ever wish that I want to send my mother or father to an old age home? One youngster just before Jummah was mentioning to me that in this December holidays, he and a few friends of theirs, they got together, they said, we're not going to go anywhere. We're not going to go to any resort, any place of fitna. We're going to save ourselves and see how we can be of some benefit to the community. So what they did was they were going to the old age homes and they were packing small gift items, some food items, some hampers like water, other hamper items, and they were taking for the old people. And they were just spending a little bit of time talking to the old people. So this young person is telling me that I can't explain to you how many people broke down crying in the old age homes. They broke down crying saying that our own children don't do what you did for us. They don't even come and visit us, they don't even come and talk to us. But you people who are outside this came to speak to us, we feel so touched that somebody came to speak to us, somebody came to talk to us. But when the thinking is the thinking of Iman, when the thinking is the thinking of Islam, then a man will actually fight with his brothers. When I say fight means in a good spirit. That I want to keep mummy, I want to keep Abba, I want to keep Ma. That thinking is there. Why? Because I'm going to get rewarded, like making jihad out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like fasting the whole day, like spending the whole night in tahajjud for a simple action like that. Why? Because a person's thinking is right. So when a person thinks right, then this helps him to go very, very far. I'll give you another example. Person who's thinking that is right, if he happens to be taking care of his father is staying with him, but because his thinking is right, when he's talking to his friends, he'll tell his friends that I am staying with my father. I am staying with my mother, I am staying with my parents. He won't say I am taking care of them, but rather I am staying with them. Sometimes you find a person may be taking his father or mother for Umrah. He won't say that I'm taking them for Umrah. He says I'm joining them for Umrah. In other words, that thinking is right, that these are my parents. The position I find myself today is because of them. I make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, what was seen as a bodge, what was seen as a burden in the secular world, therefore we need old age homes and we need other homes to take care of parents, suddenly now is seen as a blessing when a person is looking as eye with the eye of Iman and Islam. I'll give you another example. The first saf, something so simple. These are practical but simple examples. This first saf, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهُ مَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى الصُّفُوفِ الْأُولِ. That the first saf, the front safs, are so rewarding for a person to get, that Allah Ta'ala sends special mercies on the people of the first safs. And Rasul and the Malaika, they make special dua for the people that come to the first saf. So now, when you're talking about the first saf, in other words, filling from the front, moving back. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it. If you knew the reward of the amount of people that will come to the first saf, in other words, there'll be such a crowd, there'll be no place to get to the first saf. You will actually draw lots so that you get a space in the first saf. Now let's look at it, our mind, our thinking. Just as an example, myself first, that if we are told that if you go to the check-in counter, Emirates Airlines, and if you go early, they've got a new policy. What's the policy? Those that come early, if there's space available in business class, automatically free upgrade to business class. So long as you come early, that's the condition, there's a free upgrade to business class. And many people are coming early and they're getting it. Ask ourselves, will we go early to the check-in counter when we're flying or not? Automatically, free upgrade. There's nothing for a person to do, he'll grab it with two hands. Here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that this business class first saf, second saf, etc., is coming so easily. All you need to do is go early and grab that seat. Ask ourselves, what's causing us to stay back and to delay from getting such a rewarding action just by going early to the masjid? Now, this is also just an example. And when the secular mindset is there, as I'm explaining, then things that we're supposed to be doing, sometimes we do it very different. One hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, that man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, fal yukrim dhaifa. That whoever believes in Allah Ta'ala and believes in the last day, he should honor his guest. He should go out of his way to honor his guest. Now you'll find that there's a new trend. And what is the trend? Is that we must serve buffet style. In other words, all the guests come, they must stand in the line and they must wait, take their plate, fetch the food, and then they must come down and back to the table wherever they're sitting, or dastarkhan, and they must eat. But what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, honor your guest. You take the food to your guest, you serve the guest, see that he's happy, ask him, do you need anything else? What do you need? This is the style of Islam and the style of the West. Stand in the line, go by the food, fill up your plate, come back. When you need again a second helping, you wake up yourself, go again. This is not the style of Islam. Islam is we honor our guests. Another thinking that these I'm just mentioning so that we can bring it. Simple things that we change our mindset will make it very, very easy for us. A person's daughter is getting married. A person's son is getting married. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ أَعْظَمَ النِّكَاحِ بَرَكَةً أَيْسَرَهُ مَعُونَ. That nikah wherein there's the least expenditure has the most amount of barakah in it. But the moment there's a nikah in our family, what's our thinking? Generally, I'm talking about myself, and our thinking is, first the person is thinking which hall. Is it going to be the ICC? Is it going to be this hall or that hall? Person's mind is already gone to the big halls. Then he's thinking, now let me see who does decor. I need to get the person that's going to do the best decor. Then I need to see which caterer I'm going to use. That plan of action is already there. And then the other thinking that comes in. Now this we just take to be normal. What is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying? Aisarahu ma'una. To the extent that there is less expenditure, there will be more barakah. There is an inverse relationship between expenditure in a wedding and barakah. If you want more barakah in that nikah, spend less in that nikah. But our mind is already gone there. Now when that nikah time comes, that occasion comes, the trend is that now we need to bring the bride or the bridegroom in a Ferrari, bring them in some convertible, some AMG, some motorsport. Bring that in that condition, there must be excessive hooting that takes place there, or excessive revving that takes place. Now that person starts revving the vehicles. Is that part of Islam? Is that part of Deen? Where in Islam did we ever hear this? That's actually wasting petrol, making noise, disturbing the neighbors. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel, rahmatullah alayhi, was so careful about this act, about this condition, that my neighbors, the people around me, the way I park, nobody must be caused any inconvenience. That he would come in before turning into the driveway. He'll tell his khadim, whoever is taking him, bringing him home, to switch off the headlights, then turn into the driveway. They would find this strange. Turning into the driveway, switch off the headlights. What? It's not some practice that we normally do. He says, you see, as the car is turning into my yard, that headlight is going into my neighbor's house. It's at night now, perhaps they're sleeping. I don't want to cause that level of inconvenience where additional lighting is coming even into their room. Now when a person is careful about this, then a person will be careful about other things. He will tell his friends that when you park your vehicle, don't just park the car, jump out and go into the masjid. He says, jump out, walk around the car. Look to see that the person that is parked next to you, he can jump into his car comfortably. You haven't parked too close to the right, you haven't parked too close to the left. You haven't inconvenienced a person even in the way he jumps into his car. So now this is what you call thinking, when a person's thinking is right. So that's another example that I've given. Like this, a person, one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, matalul ghaniyyi dhulmun. A person that has the financial means, by him pulling his creditors, by him delaying in payments, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that this is zulm. A person is a zalim, he's got this financial means. The secular world, the secular practice is what? All payments are made monthly. So if the invoice comes from the supplier in the first week, we'll put it one side, we'll make payments at one day. The invoice comes from the service provider, we'll put it one side. And that too, sometimes Allah Ta'ala forgive us, that this gets delayed not just till month end, many times 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. The person is waiting for his money, he needs the money, he's phoning, that person says, you know what, if you want me to make payment now, at least one 30-40% discount. The person has no choice, he needs the funds. That working capital he's in need of. He says, okay, after when? After 120 days. He says, okay, now you take 60%. Discount of 50%, 40%. It makes it so difficult. And what is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying? That person who got the means of paying, he should pay immediately. So in other words, that invoice comes, I got the means of paying, I should pay immediately. There isn't this concept of delaying it till month end. The invoice came today, I can pay today. One advantage of doing this, acting in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is if a person dies that day, if he passes away that day, he'll pass away debt-free. He has paid his debts for the day. Which one of us wouldn't like to go clean, go light? My ustad, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, he mentions, that one occasion he asked his ustad, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib, who was the Grand Mufti of Dioban. He said, on one occasion I asked him, I said, you see, the sajda itilawat, the sajda, when a person is reading Quran Sharif, then he comes across ayat of sajda. He says, so what happens is because continuously I'm reading, I build it up to about 30 sajdas. And then I make all 30 one time. Is that practice okay? So he says, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, gave me one answer. He said, kya maut ka koi barosa hai? That you got any guarantee of death? That you're going to live for so long, you're going to live till it builds up to 30. When it builds up to 30, then you're going to make sajda itilawat. Immediately make that sajda itilawat. When that sajda itilawat comes due, make it as soon as possible. Don't delay it. So these pious people, they don't even delay these things. So this is very important. Often you'll find people owing money. December comes, they've gone to some exotic destination. They've gone for Umrah, they've gone here, they've gone there. People are still waiting for their money. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. It's becoming a scourge in society where people have to cry for their money. Another thing, another practice, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَعْتُ الْأَجِيرَ أَجْرَهُ قَبْلَ أَيْ يَجِفَ عَرَقُهُ. That give your employee his pay, his due. That pay him before his sweat even dries. Now how often month end passes, the poor staff are waiting for their money. That money is not coming. But what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, pay, even this is a beautiful expression, that before the sweat even dries, mean pay as soon as possible. So a simple policy to take home from this bayan is many of us make payments at month end. All we need to do in the first month, bring it 5 days earlier. Bring that payment to the 25th. So if there happens to be any delay, we still haven't gone past that month end. That poor employee before the month end has got his money. Often it goes to the 3rd, 4th, 5th of the month. Employees got their own debts, they got their own payments to make, and they're just waiting with the hope. We can't say anything because we lose the job, but we're waiting to get this money. What is the thinking of a Muslim? Pay the debt before, pay that employee before his sweat even dries. And the beauty of this policy, I'm just giving an example, by bringing it early, in the first month it will be brought five days earlier. Thereafter you'll still be going on a 30-day cycle, but how happy that employee will get that this boss of mine is paying me even before month end. He psychologically gets very happy instead of getting pulled. So this is how a person thinks. Another thing is that we all have got some, I'm going to finish off, my time is up. We all have got some tenants. We all have got people that are owing money, those debtors that are owing money. A Muslim, how he thinks, let me make it easy for the next man. Every one of us should have a policy. Allah Pak, give us this tawfiq. Then one act of kindness as a minimum we do every day. Whether it's towards a family member, whether it's towards a neighbor, whether it's towards a musalli, whether it's towards a person in general. One act of kindness every day. So, coming back to a person who is owing people money, or other people are owing him money. So he's got people that are battling to pay the rent. Never mind, you can't, you're battling, cut it off by half. This month, don't pay. I'm understanding your situation. If I was in your situation, how I would have liked to be treated. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib, on one occasion, I'll take 1 minute more, inshallah. On one occasion, one lady came with a very sad story. He was there in Dioban, in the madrasa. And she said, she started crying and saying that my child has passed away. I need 50 rupees for her kafan, for this child of mine's baby that has passed away, for the kafan. So the Mufti Mahmood Sahib immediately took out 50 rupees and gave it to that woman. So the students around said, Hazrat, you know and we know that this lady that had came, she's making up some story. We know that is not true. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib rahmatullah alayhi said, for a second I thought to myself, if Allah Ta'ala had put me in her condition and put me in my condition, bitore shukr, I took out this money and I gave her. So out of shukr, show some act of kindness. I'm not saying we must encourage bad behavior. I'm saying out of shukr, every day, show some act of kindness to some poor person, some family member, pick up the phone and make salam to someone. This goes very, very far. My time has expired. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. The crux of this talk is we should start thinking like Muslims, behaving like Muslims. We make things very easy. I just finished off, I forgot that hadith that I was explaining. There was one person in the time of Bani Israel that the only policy he had was being kind to his debtors. That was the only good action he had. It comes in the hadith, Bukhari Sharif riwayat, that Allah made this person's complete forgiveness for this one act of kindness. It may look small to us, but in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, it will be very, very big. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of thinking like how a Muslim should think. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.